Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Upbeat Dietitians Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Today we are talking about a social media trend. It is all over and it has reached the influencers. So that's how we knew we need to talk about it. So today we are talking about colostrum supplements and raw milk. Two very interesting topics. And wellness culture has gotten their little claws into. And we're going to kind of talk about what the colostrum, like what colostrum is, why people are drinking raw milk, and should you be doing both of these or either of these? Like a very brief intro, is colostrum just a supplement that's grown in popularity that people are taking much more recently? In pop culture news, I feel like we should have like a pop culture segment.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Like, why are we talking about this? And Ooh. Or like, what was our last straw?
What
that
TikTok
led us
did we see? Yeah, our last straw
that led us to make an episode about this. Sophia Richie, Lionel Richie's daughter, Nepo baby, TikTok influencer, also has a past history of being friends with the Kardashians. This is the extent of my knowledge of who she is. Just posted a smoothie recipe with the like LA trendy grocery store / restaurant Erewhon. And they're the like stores that have the $18 to like $20 smoothies for absolutely no reason. But they look very pretty, I will note.
True.
And in her most like her Sophia Richie smoothie, she has colostrum in it. And she's currently pregnant and she's saying she's taking it for pregnancy. So we'll be talking about that for sure. I was like, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh gosh, the sales are skyrocketing.
Oh yeah.
And then people are just choosing to drink raw milk over pasteurized milk. So we're going to talk about that as well.
We'll get to it. I don't know the title of the episode today. Emily does a great job of usually naming our episodes, but dairy is sort of the theme of the day, if you haven't gathered. Sort of.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get to this too, but the irony about certain dairy products being promoted and other ones being demonized.
Just wellness culture things.
Just wellness culture things. There should be a Pinterest board. I think of like the Just Girl things or whatever it was called back in our day. Oh my gosh, I can like visualize it. I just had a moment, like a flashback, like that.
You could, wait.
What?
Okay, quick TikTok real idea. We're already deterring. You know how like people, I don't know if you've ever seen those videos where like people either make like really negative quotes, but they like put them in the ones I see more recently are like things surgeons have told me. Like told med students in their first year, it's like, you're like, it's like the most outrageous things.
Yeah.
We should do that. We'll make it a just wellness culture things. Ooh. And like compile like everything we've ever talked about wellness culture. And
ooh, like
this could be like an ongoing series, just like pretty tech, like pretty background pictures, but like you can't drink soda, but you can have probiotic bubblies like something like that.
I feel like that'd be cute. That'd be amazing. We could probably have a whole account of just those, honestly. It's like
it's just that's
our podcast, honestly, is an endless supply of just wellness culture BS that we're bashing on.
Future idea for us.
I love it. Okay. Anyway, let's get into, first of all, what exactly is colostrum? So if you've heard of it before, you likely have heard it referred to as liquid gold, because it's usually like a yellowish color. It's what is first produced from the mammary glands when a baby is born. But other mammals also produce it besides just humans. And the colostrum that is being sold in a supplement form tends to be bovine colostrum, which comes from cows. So that's what it is. It's for babies. It's for human babies, baby cows, but it's being sold to adults.
We
have a whole list of flaws. I guess we'll save it. Maybe we'll finish describing what it is. So the main purpose of colostrum, like when it's produced for a newborn, is it's really helpful in building that baby's immune system. there's certain antibodies, leukocytes, it helps with gut health. They get the nutrients they need being little tiny babies that were just born. It helps them have like that first poop, which is great for getting, you know, rid of certain toxins in their body. It's for babies. Like, it is called liquid gold because it really does all the things that newborn babies need right after they're born. Things that when you're in your 20s and 30s aren't really a problem. Like, there's, yeah, you don't need to have that laxative effect from it because you aren't needing to do that first poop. You're pooping on a daily basis, hopefully. But for a baby, it is a really, really great thing. It's one of the big benefits of breastfeeding.
Yes. And another thing to note about it is colostrum in like humans is only lasts for like the first 3 to 4, 3 to 5 days of breastfeeding. After that, it turns into transitional milk. So there's a very small period. I didn't look what it was in like cows or like other mammals, but I assume it's probably similar, like a much shorter time period compared to other milk. So it's like the first thing the baby's drinking. And then also it's really easy to digest. And this is important because like the babies are coming out, not having any exposure to like outside food, like germs and like bacteria and just like the air, like they are fresh out of the womb. And their digestive tract is like very vulnerable at this point.
Yeah.
If you're an adult, your digestive tract, maybe it could be messed up. My digestive tract messed up. But
say all our tubs for different reasons. Your GI tract being all kinds of messed up.
Yes. But for different reasons.
Yeah.
So it's just like really important to know also like the flow of colostrum when it comes out of the mammary glands is just very slow because it's teaching the baby to nurse. Like you don't want to like coming out 100 miles per hour. It never comes out that fast. That'd be crazy.
That'd be really crazy.
But like everything, the purpose behind colostrum is to essentially adjust this baby to the new world and help it learn how to adapt.
Exactly. And speaking of like the gut, you mentioned how they have that brand spanking new baby GI tract that is not super developed. And so there are certain nutrients in a colostrum, either supplement or, you know, in the actual stuff from the mother, that can freely pass into the bloodstream because that newborn's intestines are underdeveloped. But in adults, certain nutrients that are in colostrum that are claimed to be super helpful for us, they are going to get broken down in certain ways that it wouldn't be broken down in a baby. And so it's not going to be utilized as well. So our guts are just totally different. That's the bottom line. Our guts are just totally different. And so we're using these nutrients in totally different ways because we've had 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of life to grow and develop, and our body adapts to that, which is a good thing overall. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing our body knows what it's doing and it can use grown-up food to support immunity, gut health, skin health, all those different things.
Yes. It's just, we're going to talk about it more, but we're just in very different places in life.
Yeah. Well, I kind of rattled off just a second ago some of the supposed benefits. Mm-hmm. The biggest two, I would say, that I see a lot of is immune health and gut health. Inflammation gets thrown around as a benefit with like all supplements, I feel like. I know like the greens powders we've reviewed, inflammation was claimed. Mm-hmm. Seed oils, everyone's always claiming that those are going to make inflammation worse. So of course, they're hopping on that trend too. But with that, we always say like, what exactly is being inflamed? Like, what antibodies are you talking about here? Like, at what dose, mm-hmm. of course, always has to be mentioned. There's also some benefit claimed for athletic performance, so muscle recovery and enhanced performance during sport or weightlifting or whatever, skin health, and then some claims for even like clinical benefits like sepsis, respiratory infections, things like that.
It just does so much.
It does everything. So, what can't colostrum supplements do?
I was gonna say, it could probably also cure cancer.
Probably.
Could also probably cure depression. Just like,
wow. Does Liver King know about this?
Does Gwyneth Paltrow know about this?
I guarantee. I kind of look it up actually. If I want to know if
Liver I feel King like what if I was putting money on someone and taking Gwyneth this, too. Gwyneth is taking this.
Oh, yes.
Is Wood Liver King?
I called it. Yep. He has his ancestral ancestral grass-fed colostrum. I knew it.
Interesting. I don't know if I would have expected that from him.
His is a capsule, not a powder. It's $68 for 180 capsules.
Oh my God.
How many do you take per serving? That's what I want to know.
Is it like take as needed?
I think you take more than one per serving. So it says it's like, it ends up being about $68 a month. Dang.
That is like my heat bill. Electricity bill.
It's so much. It's so much. Don't worry though. It is grass-fed and GMO free.
Goodness.
Yeah. Those cows are not eating any GMOs. Cause you know, that's how it works. The cow eats a GMO. And so you get the GMO. It doesn't go through any type of digestion or, you know, getting pooped out or anything.
No, it just goes straight through them.
It just stays in the cow until you either drink their milk, their colostrum, or their beef. Ugh.
Oh man, these poor cows.
Those poor cows, which is one of our cons, actually a few of our cons. I already mentioned the one about our gut being more developed than a newborn's, but the first and foremost thing I've listed here is one of the issues is we're humans, not cows. And most of the supplements being sold are bovine colostrum. And cow colostrum contains specific antibodies and nutrients that are beneficial to baby cows. May not translate into adult human benefiting from it.
I was thinking about this argument about the anti-dairy people, because we got to take all the sides into account. And the people that like argue like we shouldn't be drinking other animals' milks. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, we're not drinking cow's milk for the same reasons like cows are drinking milks, their milk. Like oftentimes it's their baby is growing. Those are the main people, the main cows drinking cow milk. And then we're oftentimes it's like for us, it's like a really easy and accessible like protein source, a super easy carb source. It's very like affordable and accessible. I don't know if cows have issues with affordability and accessibility or food insecurity. Like I don't know their lives. But then I was thinking about it, I'm like, okay, let's think about that. So then maybe like the argument is like no cow products or like whatever. But the thing is like people are taking cow like colostrum for the human benefits. So it's like a completely different, there's just completely different reasoning behind both of those.
Right.
And we're not baby cows.
We're not baby cows. And I mean, speaking of like the anti-dairy group and like ethics, this is like way down on our list here, but we'll get to it now since it ties in. Some people are questioning the ethical practices of these bovine colostrum supplements because when we're taking this colostrum from the mother cow, does this mean that we are depriving this quote unquote liquid gold from some baby calf? Because there's only so much of this colostrum produced. It's not like milk, which, you know, can be produced over and over and over again for a long period of time. This is like right after giving birth and then it goes away after however many cycles a cow has. I'm not sure. I'm not a vet, but I don't know where I stand because I do drink milk and there can be, you know, what you just said, like, are we taking that away from baby cows? So I don't know where I stand personally, but it is worth questioning. Like, is it ethical to even take this away from the mom to give to the baby?
Especially, I feel like since there is just a limited like access to it, like we do not know. I don't know how long it stays in the cow system.
Yeah.
But like, from a newborn baby standpoint, this is like very important for growth. Yeah. And there's a very limited supply.
It's so funny because like some of the supplements will say, oh, what are they, how do they word it? They word it as like cow first or something like that. Let me find my
cow first.
Let me find it.
Is it like animal rights?
Yes. They make a claim on the package that says it's like the cow basically gets it first. I forget how they word it. Let me find it.
Oh. And so then, like, they know. Anything left over.
We get the leftovers. Yeah.
Even though there's not probably that much.
Also, just like total. Any other supplement, who's verifying that?
Yeah, that's not a regulated phrase. You could just say that.
So some will say sustainable, which who knows what that means. And then calf first sourcing is another claim they'll have on the label sometimes, which sounds to me like the calf gets their pick of the liquid gold and the rest goes to the supplement brand.
If you have to clarify that, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Right. Interesting.
Well, of course, being a supplement, we also have our usual cons, limited evidence supporting its use. There is some evidence on colostrum use and some even support some of these different pros, but like we always say, we have to like dig past the abstract with a study and look at the sample size and the actual outcomes and who's funding the research. There's not enough evidence where I, as a dietitian, am going to say that colostrum is worth taking, especially at its price point, which we'll get to. Like there's some evidence, not enough that it's high quality or that it's been proven enough to be worthwhile.
Yeah. We're going to have to wait a bit research.
And then too, of course, our quality and safety concerns. I have not seen any of these that are third-party tested, but they are calf first sourced or whatever I just said.
Yeah. So I don't know anything they're saying in the labels could just not be accurate.
Exactly. I don't know of any third-party testing companies that test for calf first sourcing.
No.
No one is verifying if that's true or not, or if any of the other claims are true.
Yeah. And if you're like wondering what we're talking about specifically when we say like when it comes to supplements, like we always talk about, we'll include our supplement episode in the bio if you'd like to listen to that episode after, where we kind of go into regulation and whatnot.
We should include a few other episodes too. We talk about other supplements, just so they can kind of, I feel like if they're wondering about colostrum, they could be wondering about other supplements too.
Let's just throw Herbalife on there because that Let's comes to mind.
Golo can be thrown in there.
Oh, Golo. Oh.
That was a very recent one. Oh, well, didn't we do Beachbody or something?
I was thinking Beachbody.
We definitely talked about Liver Kings.
I was like, we may as well throw Gwyneth and Liver King on
there. Gwyneth.
All right, there we go. We got five other episodes for you guys to watch.
You're going to be hearing the same thing basically over and over and over again in each of those.
And then you will know
what
to expect every time.
You'll be able to recite it.
Let's talk about possible side effects.
Okay.
Because that's always fun. It's just like reminds me of like any medication commercial where it's like side effects include cardiac arrest.
Or if you're allergic to this pill, don't take this pill.
Yeah.
Oh, genius idea.
So some possible side effects of colostrum, if you're planning on taking the supplement or curious, are nausea, flatulence, diarrhea, unpleasant tastes, and individuals with dairy allergies or lactose intolerance should also avoid bovine colostrum supplements because the lactose dairy. in it is dairy.
The irony. So,
it's interesting how dairy is perceived in this world.
I know. We'll get to it. We're kind of hinting, but we'll talk more about the irony here. Yeah. One last con, we've kind of touched on already, but of course the high price tag. Let me pull up, what is the name of that? The big brand I always hear about.
The one with the cow on the face.
There's Miracle Moo, which is the TikTok one. And then Armra. Okay, Armra seems to be like the fancier one that like Armra. The rich wellness people get to take. Oh my gosh. So Armra is $110 for...
Oh, this just looks bougie.
It's so bougie.
This, like, the pictures.
For 120 servings. So less than a buck a serving, which honestly is better than some brands.
Yeah.
Miracle Moo is the other one. It even says, like, number one most recommended on TikTok on the label. Which just goes to show that you can put anything you want on a supplement label.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's crazy. How much does this one cost? Of course, you have to like scroll through 30 different things before you even get to the price. So one tub of Miracle Moo is $60. How many servings is this? It like won't show me the nutrition facts. Red flag.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm not doing that. It's expensive. It's all you need to know. It's like not even letting me see it, which is, again, a red flag.
Yeah. If they're not making this information accessible, scary stuff.
The fact that it says TikTok on it just looks so, so weird.
The only thing I've ever seen with TikTok, like, on it is books, where it's like, this was in book talk. But I'm like, this is a book. Like, that's okay.
Right.
This is a health supplement.
With side effects, potentially. And a much higher price tag than a book.
Yes. Ugh. So all in all, we don't recommend colostrum. If you haven't caught in that.
The side effects aren't that intense, and they may not even happen at all. I think it's more of one of those things where you're paying $100 a month for nothing, basically.
Yeah. And like, you don't know what's in it. If you have a like food allergy, you don't really know what's in it, because we have not found one that's third party tested at this time. And it's just like one of those like all-in-one miracle supplements.
If they claim to do that many things, yeah. It's like, if you take a vitamin D supplement, you know it's supporting your vitamin D levels in your body. That's what it does, period. But like with this, it claims to do so many drastic things. They're also vague too. It's like gut health, immune health. Like, what exactly about the gut? Right. Like,
it's just interesting. Interesting things.
Well, along with colostrum, wellness culture is also very big on raw milk right now. Emily and I were just talking today about doing an episode, spoiler alert, on crunchy mom talk, because that is a lot of where the raw milk stuff is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about that specifically, shall we?
Let's talk about it. So it's like the raw milk versus pasteurized milk argument. A little history lesson. Milk pasteurization was developed from like a food safety standpoint. It's a process of heating milk where it's high enough in temperature for long enough time to destroy or deactivate organisms, enzymes that can contribute or spoil food or increase risk of disease. And it's been around since the 1800s, so 200 plus years at this point. And some specific germs that are very dangerous in raw milk that pasteurization has helped manage are E. coli, Listeria.
Oh no.
Salmonella, I think. Brucella, Campylobacter, and Cryptosporidium.
Nice.
There we go. I had to slow myself down or else it would get crazy. But you definitely at least sort of like E. coli, Listeria, and Salmonella.
Yeah.
And
Listeria right pasteurization now especially has been a lot.
I'm really glad people have the food safety basics in their brain about it. Because I've seen a lot whenever raw milk gets brought up, I see it in the comment section where it's like, are we just going to forget about it? Like, Listeria.
Right.
Just going to pretend that's not a thing.
And should we just say it? The pregnant mom dietitian who is drinking raw milk?
We don't claim her. Sarah Grace Mack I don't think she's ever coming on this.
We're name dropping.
We're senior dietitians now, as we've been That's practicing true. For a solid 3-4 years. I don't think she would have any intention of coming on here unless, I don't know, maybe she has a 180. But I will note, she used to be very like we were talking about this, like at one point, we followed her like years ago, and it was because she was in the intuitive eating space. And then we don't know what changed when.
What if she's the marketing person behind Golo that we talked about?
Oh my gosh, she's the one that got sick of it. She's
the one who went rogue.
Ooh, a potential candidate. And she has a big enough like following that like they could have easily found her.
Right.
Online. And be like, oh, you know, we want you. We're spreading rumors.
I know this is all a conspiracy. Please do not think this is true. It probably actually isn't.
No, probably there's probably a lot of like dietitians that
so
have
many
had enough.
Yes. Give us 10 years.
Give us 10 years. See how we are doing that. Yeah. But Sarah made this TikTok, and we're specifically bringing her up because she is a dietitian. And she like, Hannah, I don't know if, do you ever see the whole video? Or did it get taken? Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
I saw the whole thing.
Because I was like, by the time I DM'd it to you and I looked back, she took it down. I was like, oh,
yeah.
I'm glad you saw it.
I forget how like, I did. If I like, it wasn't on my For You page, because my For You page knows better than that. But I saw the whole thing. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But essentially she did this like, I'm a crunchy mom something. I'm going to drink raw milk while I'm pregnant, essentially. It was like all these like very wellness culture-y things. And when I watched it, I was like, dang, we lost another one. But we bring up her because she's a dietitian. One, she has a code of ethics to follow that we also follow, that she apparently does not want to follow, about promoting evidence-based information that's not harmful. She had to pass food safety 101. She knows about Listeria. But anyway, there's like also so many like crunchy mom, wellness moms that are drinking raw milk. And a lot of them are like, or it's related to pregnancy, which is like very concerning to me.
That's like the main group who shouldn't be drinking it. Of anyone else, like that's the most unsafe group to be drinking it.
Yeah, like your body is like immunocompromised because you are growing a human being. And your human being is very susceptible to getting sick.
It's honestly, it's selfish.
I like don't understand any of the rationale.
Especially because regular dairy provides, it's safer, obviously, we're going to get to that, but it provides the same nutrients. So like, what is the benefit? Like anything, I'm mad. It's not worth it. Like you get the same benefits from regular milk with the same people who are demonizing the milk that's cheaper and more accessible.
Yep.
Even with though it's a safer option.
Yeah. Like with less risk of getting sick, and pasteurization has like almost essentially eliminated scarlet fever, tuberculosis, and typhoid from foodborne illnesses. Why, like, people are no longer dying at 35, 40 years old. They are living
thanks
like
to
double that.
Yeah.
And changes in our food so that these foodborne illnesses and like things we've learned over time because of science help us live longer. It's just like anytime, and this is like your next bullet point, like anytime people bring up like how our ancestors ate or like what they were doing health wise, like, yeah, they were doing that, but let's look at their like longevity of life. Like,
also,
they were
like,
dead by 40.
Doesn't apply to everybody. Also, like, just because your great grandma drank raw milk and happened to survive doesn't mean that everyone else's family did that. I put in the notes, your great grandma also didn't wash her hands. And now we know to wash our hands on a regular basis.
Yeah. In It's crazy. I mean, I don't even know if we knew that. Honestly, I don't know if we know that because
I mean, yeah, that's
COVID
true.
And where we learned.
I feel like we know that. We just don't practice it. Kind of like this. Like we know to not drink raw milk, but we're gonna do it anyway because capitalism and wellness culture.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me. I know some of the reasons why their ancestors
and gut health and probiotics, the
food, big food and big dairy, right? Even though they're still eating dairy.
That's the part that gets me the most mad is like, eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, but you can't in the same breath demonize the more accessible option when it's providing the exact same nutrition. Maybe less, you know, I don't know what exactly gets removed that would be promoting gut health and such in raw milk, but at the risk, it's just not worth it.
It's just crazy.
It's so crazy. Well, so we like crazy. To provide resources, and we included a website where if you do want to know where your milk comes from, because it also has the other benefit that they claim is it's, you know, exactly where it comes from, you know, the farmer, it just feels more, I don't know what the word is to describe that. You just can trust that it's coming from a good source, I guess, is another claim that they make with choosing their own milk. So usually have to like go out of their way to like, they have a milk dealer, like that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But if you get regular old store-bought milk, like the rest of us do, like Emily and I do.
Us peasants.
Yeah. You can go to whereismymilkfrom.com. There's a little code on your carton of milk. You can put it in that website and it will tell you where your milk is from. And it usually is pretty local. Milk, it doesn't make sense for it to travel a long distance. So it's usually coming from within the state, maybe the next state over. There's going to be dairy farms pretty close to almost everywhere in the United States. So it's not going to go too far, which is another thing that with the raw milk, like just because you got it from the same zip code doesn't mean that it's better for you.
Oh, yeah.
I truthfully have not researched this a whole lot until we planned out this episode. So if you do want to learn more about like pasteurization and the raw milk dietitian debacle, go check out Food Science Babe and Andy Does Healthy, who we had on the podcast a while back. Both talk about this a lot more in detail and debunk all of the ridiculous comments that they get about this whole thing.
And we'll include their names in the bio as well if you want to go there. So all in all, we've talked about this like kind of throughout, but the entire like laughs
we don't cry, like
content and irony of all this is like the people who are promoting colostrum supplements and raw milk are also the same people who are saying, like, telling you not to drink dairy because it's inflammatory and you should only eat quote unquote unprocessed foods when all supplements are processed.
Very processed.
And both raw milk and colostrum have dairy in it. But they
make inflammation better. They reduce inflammation, unlike regular milk, which evidently causes inflammation. It's always so ironic. I think ironic and irony is the best way to describe this. Mm-hmm. There's just so many examples of this that we've described in so many episodes. Like, it's just so easy when you know what to look for to point out all the different ironic things.
Yes. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Well, hopefully you guys got the gist. I feel like going into this, once again, you probably knew exactly what we were going to say. Oh, it's not third party tested. It's expensive. It's not evidence based. Yeah, wellness culture prevails. And there's always something new.
Another win for wellness culture today. And a loss for science.
A loss for science. Poor science.
It's okay. Maybe they'll do research on this and then we can return to it and be like, here's our research based things on what's going on. Right now, there just is no research because scientists did not think people would be encouraging drinking colostrum or consuming colostrum from cows.
When we first started this podcast, I would have never guessed that we were talking about colostrum for an episode. I'm not sure, discussing like, breastfeeding or something.
I was going to say, that's something I left behind in life cycle nutrition. I don't work with babies. You don't work with babies or breastfeeding mothers. I don't either.
I avoided it at all costs, honestly.
Same. And I left that piece of information way back there. Yeah, here we are. It's getting applied to the general public.
Mm-hmm. And the crunchy moms, I tell you, I dared to make a single video about crunchy moms. My comments are rough. I'll share that when we get to our crunchy mom episode. But
yeah, that's going to be, I'm excited lightly. For that episode. But at least we'll be together and we can take them on together.
We can take them on together. It's hard because, I guess we'll get to this then, but we're not moms.
Yes.
So we have to come from a sciencey standpoint, professional standpoint, medical professional. Still, there's just like certain things that even if you're not a mom,
like
you should know not to do to your child.
Yeah. I will. Okay. I'm going to say this for that episode because I will note one thing, because I saw one argument that I'm like, yeah, because like the biggest argument is you can't quote about, like you can't comment on someone's parenting style if you're not a parent. But then I saw someone say like, yeah, but we were all kids at one point and we were like reflections. Like we
it's true.
Dealt with the parenting. So we still know something. So I'm like, okay. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, yes, I feel validated.
That's good. That's, and we're oldest daughters too. Got to be something there that we can rely on.
There's definitely something there. But yeah, we'll let you guys go. Subscribe to the YouTube. If you're not already, what are you doing? Please go subscribe there. We include all fun things and you could see our beautiful faces. Check out our bonus question. Today, we're going to be talking about the best type of milk. I don't think we've done this question.
Okay, I had like a weird memory that we did, but I wasn't for sure.
Actually, we might have, but I think it was like 2% versus skim versus, but like, I like your, we're going to talk more specifically about like flavored milks. I think that's better way to go. Hannah, you're going to hate my answer, but
I know.
We're going to say that for the bonus question. So you guys are going to have to listen. All of our bonus content is exclusively on Spotify right now. For a low charge of $2.99 a month, you get to get more of us every week. So how exciting is that?
And support the podcast so we can keep doing this.
Yeah, we can keep talking about raw milk.
Not going to lie, we need some financial motivation to keep doing this.
Yeah, we're, besides just getting knocked down every week by wellness culture, morale might be a little low. But yeah,
we also appreciate you guys.
Support our dreams of our little cafe in the mountain. Yeah.
With this episode playing in the overhead intercom.
And another, a TV with another episode of our faces. And just all this stimulation. In the field in the back. And then in the balcony, there's an overhead microphone with another episode playing.
Also, you and I are there doing a live episode at the same time. We're just like constantly doing a live episode at all times.
That'd be so overstimulating.
That's my nightmare, honestly. Like, if we're gonna do a business, it shouldn't be a nightmare to us. And that sounds terrible.
It should be calm and quiet.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, okay, you know, silent discos? It could be silent podcast.
That seems like it's contradicting, but we'll figure out a way. It's gonna be the most introverted, quiet podcast zone with coffee you've ever been to.
Yes. And dogs.
And dogs.
All right.
It's loud.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Bye, guys.